Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew preaches a very important sermon entitled Antinomianism, the Theology of the Devil, preached on July 26, 2020. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to the book of Genesis, beginning with chapter 3, verse 1.
Antinomianism, or the theology of the devil. Many churches are synagogue of Satan. They preach antinomianism. Antinomianism means against God's holy law. We see this in Genesis 2:17 and Genesis 3:4. 2:17, God said, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Genesis 3:4, the devil said to Eve, "You will not surely die." The devil is the father of all lies. And the devil is against us. He tempts us to sin. And we must say no to sin. Eve ate and Adam ate and both died. And all descendants of Adam, they are conceived in sin and born as sinners to practice sin all their lives. Unless they experience regeneration from the Holy Spirit. What then is the theology of the devil, which is preached in many churches today? It is the theology of antinomianism. It says, first, no regeneration is necessary. Ephesians 2:1 through 5. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. That means the ways of the devil. And of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the devil. The spirit, the devil, who is at work now in those who are, what, sir? Disobedient. How come children doesn't want to obey parents? Because they have a perverted mind, twisted mind. And we will speak about that. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, that is flesh, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath of God. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive, regeneration, with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Twice dead, sir. It is by grace you have been saved. I am saved by Jesus Christ. Yep. And you are.
Praise
if you are not today, give your heart to Jesus Christ. The sinner's heart is twice dead. He is dead toward God and His righteousness. The sinner lives in sin and lives to sin. He is ruled by the devil, his father. He lives to satisfy his lust for evil. He is disobedient to God and obeys the devil. Without regeneration, a sinner being an object of God's wrath can only sin. 24/7 sinning.
Yep.
In thoughts, words, and deeds. He does the opposite of God's Ten Commandments, God's moral law, every day. The elect sinners experience regeneration and believes in Jesus Christ because of God's great love and rich mercy. It is by grace we have been saved. Mm-hmm. Romans 1:18-24, listen. Therefore they can only sin all the time. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, that is, creation, is a book that teaches God. So that men are without excuse. Oh, people say they don't know God. No, they do know God. Professor Vantel's book, you should read. He was the true philosopher. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Knowing there is God, he suppresses the truth and hides in philosophy and sociology. You go to this university and you see very few people who believe in the true God of the Bible. They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Worship of creation. You go to India, they will worship creation, animals, stone. Therefore, God punished them. God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts. Now, notice, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Oh, we are civilized. LGBTQRSTUVW. The Supreme Court said it is okay. Instead of God's wrath, we the elect experience God's salvation. We who suppressed the knowledge of God revealed in nature, in conscience, and in the Word of God. Romans 1:26, because of this God gave them over, punished sinners, to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Read my book, Volume 1 on Romans. Romans 1:28 through 32. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over, punished, God punished, to a depraved mind. Civilization? No. Depravity, sir. Total depravity. Isaiah 5:20 says, good is evil and evil is good.
That's right.
Civilized society. Mm-hmm. I am ashamed of what people do in this society.
That's right.
To do what ought not to be done. And then there is 21 sins listed. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Now, here it is. Why do they disobey their parents? Because they are given a perverted mind. Good is evil and evil is good. God said, honor your parents. Obey your parents. And if you are not obeying your parents, you are given over, punished by God, damned to go to hell. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. 21 sins. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve eternal death. Pastor's translation. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve. They clap their hands when others sin. Sinners were given over by God to a depraved, twisted, perverted mind to do wickedness. Without the monergistic work of the Holy Spirit, twice dead sinners can only sin. Regenerate people have new minds, new wills, and new feelings. They alone understand Scripture. They do the Word, and they rejoice in God. Jesus said, John 3, verse 3 and 5, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see, means understand, the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You cannot go to UC Davis and experience new birth. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. You can get a PhD, but you cannot get new birth. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God. That enter means experience salvation. Unless he is born of water. Water means what, sir? The Word.
Word of God.
John 15:3, according to Professor John Murray. And the Spirit. Word and the Spirit. Baptism will not save you. Saved are baptized. They see and they enter the kingdom of God, which consists in righteousness, means doing what is right in the sight of God, the opposite of wickedness, which leads to peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Born again people are the most happy people on earth. Galatians 6:15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. A new creation of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration, in other words, is essential to salvation. Without regeneration, no one can be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, believing in Christ, he is a new creation, old is gone, new has come. You cannot be in Christ, you cannot believe in Christ without regeneration. Ephesians 2:5, God made us alive with Christ even when we were, come on, sir.
Dead.
Dead twice, dead.
Yeah.
In transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. God makes the elect sinners alive with Christ in regeneration. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us. They were baptized here. I don't believe baptism saves anybody. But they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belong to us. They belong to the devil. They come to church, but they go out forever to sin. The visible church, listen, consists of both sinners and saints. Only saints will persevere to the end. The unregenerate do not. They will leave the church and join the synagogue of Satan. 1 John 3:9, I wrote a book. What is the name of the book? Normal Church Life. And the first thing is regeneration. 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed, that means life, remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. 1 John 5:4, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. 1 John 5:18, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. We live by repentance and saving faith. The unregenerate are children of the devil. Only the few regenerate are children of God. 1 John 3:10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. And in this church, we love the family of God. We take care of them. Nobody goes without food and shelter in this church. Only two fathers, sir, God and the devil. Vast majority of the people in the world belong to the devil. John 8:44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and father of all lies. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, the thief comes, that is the devil, to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have to the fullness. Point number two, sir. What are we talking about, sir? Theology of the devil, antinomianism. No repentance is necessary. The devil's theology also teaches no repentance is necessary. What did Jesus teach? Matthew 4:17. From that time on, Jesus began to teach, repent. It's an imperative. It is a command. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And Jesus spoke in Luke 15 about the prodigal son who went out as a sinner, came back as a saint. Consider his confession to his father. The son said to him, for I have sinned against heaven, that is God, and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead.
Yeah.
Dead in Adam. Dead. And he's alive,
yes,
again, regenerate. And he was lost, but he's found. Consider also what Paul said. Did he say no repentance is necessary? Acts 20:21, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance,
yep,
and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. Acts 26:20. first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to Gentiles also, I preached they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. God wants proof of our repentance by doing God's will. And what is the proof? Ephesians 4:28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer. He must work doing something useful with his own hands, purpose that he may have something to give to those in need, which is what we do in this church.
That's right.
Point number 3, no obedience is necessary. Devil's theology says no obedience is necessary. But consider the word of Jesus. Matthew 7:24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, secure in his salvation. Hebrews 5:8-9. And now, intelligent people misinterpret. That's why I am trying to repeat. Although he was son, pastor's translation, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Prosperity will never teach you obedience. We came to know God through sufferings. I remember third grade, I came home for lunch. There was none, no lunch. And through it all, we found God. Very rich people became poor. So, this is God's order. He learned obedience from what he suffered. Trials. Focus our mind on Jesus Christ. Fix your minds on Jesus Christ. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation. Come on, sir. To all who obey Jesus Christ. Acts 5:32, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Romans 1:5, through him and for his name's sake we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. We spit on the word obedience. Paul calls Gentiles to obey God, and we are Gentiles, and we are called by the gospel to obey him. Point number 4, no faith as trust in Christ necessary. Antinomian faith is devil's faith. You don't have to trust in Jesus. Our senses, you only need to believe that the Bible speaks truth. You don't have to trust in Jesus Christ. It is the devil's faith. And I prove it from James 2:14-19. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing to his physical needs, What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, that here the faith means our senses. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by good works, action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God? Good, senses. Even the demons believe and tremble. Senses is devil's faith. True faith is obedience of faith. Point number 5, no fruit is necessary. There are people who believe in that. John 15:1-6, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. He sends trial, trouble, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Fruitless branch is a fake believer in God's church. Find out, ask yourself, are you fruitful or fake? In due time, you will leave the church. If you are fruitless, he will cut you off, thrown out, withered, gathered, and thrown into eternal hell. You have to have fruit, more fruit, and much fruit if you are a Christian. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A fruitless branch is cut off. A fruitful branch is pruned through trials so that it will bear more fruit. Jesus said, if you love me, you will, come on, sir, obey my commands. This is how you know who is a regenerate person, who is a fake Christian. Point number 6, there is no cost of discipleship. Consider what Jesus said. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Cost of discipleship. Matthew 16:24. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. John 21. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. You read that. Matthew 27. And after his resurrection, he found him. He asked one question, do you love me more than these? more than your life? And he said, yes, yes, yes. And then he said, I believe you. They are going to crucify you. And you will be crucified and prove your faith in me as true. And he was crucified. Point number 7, sir. Antinomian doctrine is a buffet. Take what you like.
That's right.
You don't like repentance? You don't have to take that. It is a smorgasbord.
Mm-hmm.
But what does the Bible say? All scripture is God-spoken and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Without good works, one's faith is a lie. Number 8, we can add to and subtract from and misinterpret scripture. Synagogue of Satan misinterprets scripture. We are surrounded by synagogues of Satan. True churches are few and far between. They preach the word, they perform 2 sacraments, they exercise discipline. And 4th, I added fellowship. When we fellowship with one another, we find out they have no food, and you give them food. Number 9, sir, no sacrificial love for our brothers and sisters necessary. Is that what the Bible teaches? 1 John 3:16 and 17. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? He is not saved. Point number 10, sir. False theology, antinomianism, sends people to hell. And Jesus said so. Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Obedience. Many will say to me on that day, judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them clearly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Pastor's translation, go to hell. It is correct. So the conclusion is, the purpose of this life is not to make $1 billion. There is only one purpose for this life. And you will find out when you get older, body gets weak. And you cannot get up, you cannot sit down, you cannot sleep. And all of a sudden, you realize you are about to die. What is that purpose? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The Philippian jailer brought out Paul and Silas. In the middle of the night, he asked them, what must I do to be saved from God's wrath? He thought he was about to die. And the answer came, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved forever and your household. And if you are saved, you will listen to Peter, 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Make sure you are saved through what, sir? Your present obedience. And Peter made certain, and he was crucified for his faith. Let me tell you the final word. There is eternal heaven and there is eternal hell. Matthew 25:46. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. May God help you to experience eternal life.
Help us, Jesus.
If you are saved, rejoice with me.
Yes.
And if your children are not saved, pray for them with fasting and praying that they be saved. Heavenly Father, we were nothing. We were despised. We were zeros. We didn't have $1 billion. We didn't go to Harvard. But we don't understand that you chose us from eternity to be saved.
Thank you.
And you ordained every step that we will take. We have people in this church. They didn't know, but they were brought here by God, and they are truly saved. Thank you for giving us eternal life.
Praise you, God.
Thank you for giving us daily bread. You provide for our total needs. Your love is eternal.
Hallelujah.
It will never fail. Bless your people. Pour out your Spirit upon us. And if anyone is not saved, have mercy.
Mercy, O Jesus.
And go out
save
of this
God.
Place saved.
Save them, O God.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace Valley Christian Center is committed to the unchanging truth of the Holy Scriptures. We have been proclaiming the whole counsel of God since 1974 through our weekly worship services, our website resources, and our publishing ministry. For more information about our church, to find more edifying sermons, or to order books by the Reverend P.G. Matthew, please visit our website at gracevalley.org.